This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
You're muted, Nathaniel.
I really hoped I wasn't today. I thought I'd done it perfectly. I'd pressed the button and everything, but hello, and you're listening to the award-winning, although I still don't know why, to Holland Back podcast sponsored by Olds Logical Bar.
You're muted again. Yeah.
What? I'm going to hope that's worked, but I do click it. You know, this isn't my fault. I know everyone's going to think it's my fault, but I swear it isn't. But we are sponsored by Kingfisher and Olds Logical Bar. And this is the Talking Back podcast. This is AD and Tom and me. Should we just jump straight into the football? That's what people are here for. Yeah,
let's get straight into it.
Okay. So we lost at QPR and Tom didn't get home until 2 a.m. Do you want to just tell that story? Move on from the intro. Just, you know, put people in to the mind of Tom on Saturday night.
Yeah, well, you know, you compound your misery when you're getting on the train and you're on there for 2 hours, well, an hour, and then you're having to go across London St Pancras, and then you're having to wait for the train from Sheffield, well, train to Sheffield from there, and didn't get back into Sheffield till midnight, I'm pretty sure, and then got back home at 2 a.m., back to my heart door, so nice little, 19-hour day there, 20-hour day, you know, it's, love it, don't we? But yeah, the things you do for the club, I guess.
And it wasn't even worth it after that performance. Yeah. But yeah, AD, how are you feeling at the moment in general?
In general, I'm all right. We'll talk about Hull City.
Well, we can talk about our feelings. This is a safe place. Talk about anything we want, really.
Safe place. I'm feeling good, thanks, Nathaniel. It's nearly Christmas. I'm going to have a week off for Christmas, and I'm looking forward to that.
Good. Well, I've always got my Christmas tree behind me here. I have it up all year round next to my little tiger called Ryan, of course, obvious reasons. I don't really want to talk about the match because pretty grim performance. Well, it wasn't awful, but we didn't really get going. Standard, typical sort of thing. Cher and Willock scoring. They're the players you've got to watch out for, and they both scored. Especially the second goal, I think we'll just get straight into it because it's the sort of main talking point among several negative ones. But Ryan Allsopp, I think he offers a lot and he has been pretty good since he's come in for Ingram. But last, was it 3-4 games since Swansea, he's conceded a few sort of sloppy goals, made a few mistakes. So Tom, I'll go to you first. Allsopp, where you at with him?
I think when you've got a goalkeeper like that and you're playing out from the back, you're always at that risk of making a mistake. But I think what I think in this situation is you've got to use your initiative as a goalkeeper and know when to play out regardless of what your manager says. And I think Rossini will say, he takes it on the back and says, this is how we're going to play. So if my players make a mistake, I'll back them and I'll say that's my fault. But when you're 1-0 down away from home, when you're still trying to persist, you know, playing out from the back when you've been put under pressure by two QPR players, it's not ideal. I think common sense has to sort of grab you by the balls there and just say, look, kick it into the stands or just kick it anywhere, but another play around with it in the box and then allow Chair to score. I think calls for him to drop perhaps maybe warranted given how he's played the past few games, but we have to remember across the season he's been one of the best performers in goal. He's saved us more points than he's cost us, I'd say, in terms of the saves he's made and the distribution. Like, you know, most of the time his distribution is top draw. Aside from a few mistakes, you can't really fault him for that, and his shot stopping as well. Until recently, so I guess like he's let a few blunders in, but I guess we can forgive him. And the reason why he's in our goal is because he has the ability to play out from the back, whereas Ingham doesn't. Whether Mussolini decides to take him out the limelight remains to be seen. But you know, I'm still happy Allsop's in goal. Maybe one or two games put Ingham in to sort of relieve him with the pressure, I guess, and then he can come back in. But yeah, didn't paint himself in glory on Saturday, really. But yeah.
Well, that's a good nuance for you. AD, do you want to just tear into him or do you agree?
No, I want to tear into him, obviously.
Go on.
Well, no, listen, here's my thing. I put it on Twitter on Saturday because somebody had put, that Allsop's needs to keep his place and Ingram shouldn't be getting back in. What I said on this, and that, you know, people may disagree with me. If you do, then you're watching a different game to me. Then basically, Ingram, when Allsop actually got into goal, wasn't doing anything wrong.
Right.
Ingram had started to grow into Liam's way of playing and his distribution had got a lot better. He maybe isn't as good at distribution as Allsop is, but he was getting better at it and he was learning more and he was developing his game more. Allsop comes in when Ingram's done nothing wrong. Allsop's done loads wrong, but Ingram still hasn't got back in the goal. And I don't get it. I really don't get it. I mean, Ingram's the far better shot stopper. Allsop's the better distributor. Now, for me, I'd rather have somebody that can stop the ball going into the back of the net and not let us concede goals and maybe not be as quite as good at playing out from the back as having somebody who's good at playing out from the back. Because the goals that we've been cost through him playing out from the back has been a lot just recently, you know. And I mean, the first goal that was scored by Willock on Saturday, he don't go for. He don't put his arm out. Why is your arm not going out? As a goalkeeper, surely your arm should be going out. The week before, he's the ball that gets played from 40 yards. I'm sure he could have saved that. I'm really sure he could have saved that, and he didn't. You know, he didn't even make an attempt to go for it. Why didn't he make an attempt to go for it? I don't get it. So for me, I think that, you know, personally, Ingram's got to come back in. And, you know, Ingram's then got to make at least two game mistakes before Allsop comes back in, because it's been probably four games that Allsop's not had a good game and Ingram's still not back in as number one. That's my view.
Yeah, I think with what you get with Ingram is a bit more presence in the goal in terms of when he comes to claim crosses and how he commands the back line. But I agree now, I see Allsop's better at distribution. You know, Ingram himself...
Do you not think, Tom, that Ingram had got better at distribution just before he lost his place?
It's to be argued, I think. Like, I remember at the start of the season, like how frustrating it was to watch him just dally on the ball loads and not pass out. I remember Doncaster home sticks out a lot. Like, I think he made the most touches out of anyone on the pitch.
He didn't really have a lot of movement, and they want players in the right position to play the ball. The player, well as the keeper, have learned the system more since Ingram's lost his place. So the players,
I do think it would be interesting to see if he came back in and how good his distribution was, because clearly, it's been implemented the style a lot more now, and I think Ingram can probably feel hard done by not to be back in the net. Whether Rossini decides to change it up on Wednesday night remains to be seen. But you know, I think Ingram probably does deserve a chance now. Like you say, he's not really put a foot wrong this season in terms of...
He's only putting Allsop under an awful lot of pressure if he doesn't, isn't he? And as a manager, you've got to see that that goalkeeper, after the mistakes that he's made, is under so much pressure from the fans. If you don't take him out on Wednesday night and then they don't get a result on Wednesday night, coming home on Saturday, the fans are not going to be... You know, they're going to be very nervous any time that he's on the ball or getting a shot against him. And that's not good for a keeper, is it?
No. Another thing as well, I think what cost us on Saturday is Alfie Jones obviously not being in the squad. Like, one of our most influential players in terms of building out from the back as well. It's so important that you've got a right foot centre-half on the right side and left on the other side. And we could see that in terms of like the build-up play, like, Tez is splitting splitting passes into midfield. Wouldn't have that enough, really. The want enough.
Yeah, I think Maka got a bit of flack for that, but I don't think it's Maka's fault. I think Maka's...
He didn't put a foot wrong.
Trying to play in a position that's not natural to him.
Yeah. I think as well, like, the balance as well. I know Cole's played really good this season, but I think Rossini's got a decision to make now. I think we need a left-footed left-back in the squad because I just think that it sort of stops you from sort of building up on that side. Like, you saw Coyle lots of times, like, cutting back and then passing back to the centre-back. If you had a natural left-back, the player can let the ball run across his body and then you're out to the wing and then and it helps you sort of get forward. I think Coyle works in that position when Christie's sort of pushing high up the pitch, but QPR didn't let that happen on Saturday. So I think it would... Once Vinagre's back fit, I'm not sure when. Is he fit now?
Could be back for Wednesday, apparently. He is the press conference today said that he could be back for Wednesday.
Yeah, I would like to see him.
I don't think he'll sling him in because I think it's one of them where you've had an injury, he's definitely not going to start. I think the left-back's a really interesting one because, you know, you've got Vinagre, you've got the lad from Bristol City, can't remember his name, Nathaniel, you'll know.
James Fairlong.
Fairlong, yeah. You've sent out Brandon Fleming on loan. I don't think Fleming was too bad, and you've let Callum Elder go. I think he's had a really torrid time trying to get the left back position sorted, and he's not fancied quite a few people. He don't fancy Fairlong at the moment. He don't really fancy Vinagre because he's played Greaves and Coyle ahead of him.
Yeah, so I think with Vinagre, you can see that in terms of going forward, brilliant. Like, it's in terms of what he offers as an outlet, but defensively, he's far to deceive, I think, in terms of his positional play and like his 1v1 defending. And we know he's got the pace to go forward and cause problems. Like, we've seen it off the bench when, I think, what was the game where he got the assist for a goal? And I've forgotten what game it was, but it was the late assist, wasn't it, for the late goal.
Well, Vinagre created the goal against Huddersfield, didn't he?
Yeah, that was the one. Yeah,
yeah, that was the one. Yeah, obviously he's crossing to the box, so we know what he can offer from an attacking point of view. Just defensively, I think there's questions to be asked there. But I do agree that in January, if we're looking to address that situation, I think we have to. You look at Fairlong; he's not fancied. Fleming, I don't think he's up to the level anymore. And Vinagre goes back at the end of the season unless we pay the astounding amount that Sporting want. So that, I think, in the long term, we do need to go out and buy a left back. Because, yeah, it's clear that it's a situation. We don't want to continue having to play Greaves at left-back because we've seen how good, since he's gone back to the centre-back position, how good he is.
So, the shocking thing for me is that you've got Fairlong, and I know he's a young lad, but if he's there, then I presume the only reason he's not had a go yet is because he's not doing it in training. It's the only thing I can come up with as to why he hasn't had a go, because, you would have a go, wouldn't you? You'd have a go at it, and you would give him a try. I mean, he's give youngsters a go before. Harry Vaughan is obviously one of them. He don't mind giving a youngster a go. To me, it's got to be that he's not doing it in training or something.
Yeah, just definitely deserves a chance, I'd say. I'm not sure against Middlesbrough, but 100% we do need a left-sided, left-footed centre, left-back, sorry.
Because some players come alive, not in training, but in the actual match day. And yeah, if we had Vinagre fit, Jones was playing and Greaves was playing at left back every game and still doing well, you could understand it. But because of the injury to Jones and to Vinagre, yeah, you think now is the time to get him in. And really, you know, we're talking about Kyle playing at left back and a few other players, especially on the wings. We've had issues and we did it again. We had Traore on the wing. We don't want to be getting into the situation we had last year where it's round pegs and square holes again. because I think that's why we struggled a bit last year. We didn't have the players in the right positions, and
yeah, I
starting
agree.
To get a, starting to look a little bit like that again, isn't it? Trying Slater out wide again.
You think at some point you've got strength in depth in the squad, but then when these few injuries start to settle in, there's not as much strength in depth as you think in the squad, is there?
We've got so many wingers, but same as last year, we haven't actually had two wingers fit on the pitch for very much, have we?
No. I think what's frustrating, I know it might not be a popular view, but it's so frustrating that Sinek's injured now. Like, it'd be great to see him get a chance in the team with Philogene injured, see what he can do. Because apart from that, in terms of a right-footed left-winger, we've got Vaughan. I don't want to see Twan out there again. Like, he's not a left-winger. He's better in the 10. And Traore as well on the other side. I don't like seeing him as a right-winger. Like, when we've seen him at his best, Traore, he's been sort of like a deep-line central midfielder. Like, we saw it against Huddersfield, how good he was, I think it was. Or against Preston, where him next to Seri was, you know, he played really well, like, in the absence of Morton. And I think that's probably his best position.
We did break it on Tiger Pop on Westall FM that Sinek was going back to Turkey well before it was documented anywhere else. And, you know, our source was right with that. And, you know, we knew he was going back, and he's not coming back. It's not, I don't think it's an injury, to be quite honest with you. I think it's more he's not happy being here. Liam's not happy with him. And this knee injury was, it was amazing how his knee locked up on the Saturday morning. And we basically got the news a couple of days before that he was going back to Turkey. So it was amazing that it came out on the day of the match that his knees locked up. I think he's summing himself in Turkey and enjoying the treatment room there that they've got, which is obviously a lot better than Hull City's treatment room.
Yeah, I think in terms of, we've never seen that sort of attitude and the desire for him to sort of break into the team. I think because Rossini's works him every day, and if he's not seeing enough in training, then he's obviously not doing enough to start. And now we've got Philogene on that side. Where we need to address, I think, is on the right. I don't think we've been convincing down that side this season in terms of, you know, the quality we've got out there.
Been fits and starts with him, hasn't it? He's been in fits and starts. You know, somebody put he's very injury prone himself, isn't he? You know, it's. I don't know. It's a funny situation, is that right side. You get a right-sided winger and, you know, he does do okay. He's a different player to Philogene. There's no doubt about that. He can put a good cross into the box, but then, you know, he keeps getting little tweaks of injuries, don't he? And that then sets
Who's that? Is that Lekila?
Yeah.
Yeah, Lekila, yeah. To be fair, when I've watched him, like, I like his sort of his aura. Like, when he gets the ball, he looks like he's going to make something happen, and I like that
but
about him.
But it doesn't go much beyond the aura, though, is it? Because he's still not got any contributions. And just, I'd rather have just, I mean, like Longman maybe, or just anyone who's just fit and reliable, because I think anyone in the team, whether they're Messi or, you know, Longman, if they're just in the team for a long time, they can get that rhythm, whereas Lekilo's good, but he's not fit. Aliar could be good, but he's not fit. Sinek has got talent, but he's not fit. And these other midfield players, Slater, Traore, Tufan, Twine, can play there, but they're better through the middle. It's just so frustrating that a year and a half we've had this issue.
We're seeing the same, obviously, issues crop up. It's annoying because we're starting to sort of hit that rhythm again. And then we get hit with a few injury blows. And then now, obviously, we lost two in a row. It's not panic stations yet, but we'll get head into a period where we've got seven games in the space of a month. We need our best players fit. And if Philogene's out, he's been sort of carrying us, you know, recently from, you know, the goal he scored, the solo goal he scored before. You know what I mean? It's like, obviously against Birmingham as well, that goal he scored, like, long ranger. Mm-hmm. You know, it's frustrating. Like, you know, he's our best player.
What do we do instead of Philogene? That's my question. I mean, you've got Vaughan Coville, who he's talked about, but he said that the only thing that's really going to happen with Vaughan is he's going to go out on loan in January. When he was fit and under, I mean, he only played under Shotter, didn't he? He wasn't fit when Liam was here. For me, just before he got the injury, he'd started to look quite good at Coville, and I don't know why thinking of, you
I remember
know,
against them
he can play on the wing, can't he?
Yeah. Probably I remember against Norwich start of the season. He was really good. Like, it was really impressive last season. Then he got that long-term injury. I think when you've got a long-term injury like that, it's going to take you a while to get back. But like Andrew said in the comments there, like, we do need to shift some of this deadwood. Some of the players on high wages, like, to be able to sort of attract the players that, you know, really interested in playing for Hull, because two fans' performances past, I'd say past couple of months now, he's been so poor. Like, I think his last good game for us was against Bristol City at home, and that was when he scored against them. And apart from that, it's frustrating, because obviously the likes of Aliar as well, he's shown a bit of promise in the start of his whole City career, but then that's sort of petered out now, and no one knows his best position. And, you know, I really liked what I saw from Aliar at the start, but clearly it's not worked out. So I think January is looking important.
You'd move him on in January, wouldn't you? He'd certainly one that you'd be moving on in January. I'm sure that from what we've met out, Cynic's going to end up going back to Turkey in January without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, he'll be on loan somewhere at the very least, won't he?
The owner, I'm sure, would be the first to admit that he made some big mistakes last summer. You know, he was new to it. He wanted to try and, I think it was marquee signings to try and get fans interested and to try and get the wow factor there. And I think that's why he did it. And, you know, he knows and he realises what his mistakes are. But as whoever commented said, it was a bit too quick flashed up for me. But whoever commented said, you know, we do need to clear some of that out. And January is probably going to be the time that where you have a go at clearing that out. It's just if you can clear it out, get enough people in and stay hovering around the 10th position upwards to keep in touch with the playoffs, because that's the owner wants to try and stay in touch with the playoffs. And with the money that he's put in, I don't think he'd be happy if he's not somewhere there or thereabouts.
Yeah,
I think just if he can turn it around quick enough to stay there.
I think it's the early parts of the window are important. Like you said, getting rid of the players on high wages and then bringing in perhaps maybe one or two Premier League loans and then maybe investing in left back. I think the key positions are right wing, left back, and perhaps, I wouldn't say centre mid because no one's getting ahead of Serie or Morton, maybe an attacking midfielder, because so far Twan's, I know he scored two goals recently, but he's not really impressed me. He doesn't look like the Twan that I saw at MK Dons. He looks like he's running in mud half the time. Like, I don't know.
I think we need quite a lot all over the pitch, Tom, to be honest. I think we definitely need a striker. Yeah. And we were saying on Target Pop on Saturday, sorry for the little unscrupulous plug, that, you know, we could maybe do with their... We could maybe do with another striker to help Dilap, because we're just not seeing, Dilap's doing really well for us. But what happens if he does pick up that extra yellow card? What happens if he does pick up an injury? Where do we go from there? And centre back, you saw on Saturday, Smith, he didn't want to put Smith in, and he's a natural right sided centre back. He chose to put McLaughlin in there instead. Do we need another centre back as well? Because it's only really Smith, isn't he, who can come in?
The only problem, I think, with this centre-back is, are you going to buy someone, are you going to go out all out and buy like a top-quality centre-back that's going to push Jones and Greaves for that position, especially on the right side? Or are you going to try to find someone that's going to set up to be a backup and sort of push for his place in the team? Because I think it's quite hard in January, especially to attract someone that's going to settle for a backup, because we have been a strong defence this season. And
the partnership
you've got there with Greaves and Jones, you don't want to break that up. So that's probably the reason why Rossini has not really dipped into that market. But on the strike, I do agree, like, it feels like sometimes Dilap's got to do too much. Like, you want Dilap in the box, ready to sniff out chances, but instead he's having to drop deep and do the job of the attacking midfielder as well as do the job of a striker. Like, you saw how he created the goal against Watford, like, it all came from him just driving at defenders and with his pace and power, and that's how we score. But we can't just rely on Dilap. We've got to have someone else that can come off the bench and score as well. And like you say, like at the start of the season, I thought Dilap and Connolly were striking up a decent partnership in terms of that sort of little and large. Unfortunately, we've not seen it recently because of, you know, Connolly's sort of gone off the boil. But yeah, strike is definitely needed.
Yeah, I think you are right as well. January is a really tough one because, you know, you are going to struggle to get some people in because of, as you say, you know, do they want to play backup? But you do need a bit of backup there, because as good as Greaves and Jones are being, we've got McLaughlin for one side, Smith for the other. I don't think it's quite enough, because injuries, cards, all them things come into play, and I think you are going to need something there. And as Ant put on there, the other thing in centre midfield is we're losing Seri and we're losing Traore to the Africa Cup of Nations.
Yes.
We are going to be a bit light there when they go. So I think you're going to have to get somebody in that position, just because of
how it makes us. Seri is irreplaceable. I've said it before, like, in terms of what he can bring, his passing range, I don't see who can replace him currently with the options. I'm not saying that we can't sign someone that has a similar ability to him, but it's going to be hard to find that in January. But yeah, it's an issue that needs addressing, because right now we've got Morton guaranteed to start, and then you'd have to start Slater alongside him. But to me, that's quite unbalanced in terms of midfield. Like, I prefer seeing Slater a bit further forward, just behind a striker perhaps. Maybe that's what we'll try in future. But yeah, it's going to be a big blow when we lose them too. So, yeah.
I'm definitely going to interject here. Not only do we have a guest, Johnny, from the Borough Breakdown coming on to discuss the midweek game at the Riverside, but also I think, I don't know whether we're overreacting, but we're overreacting a little bit. I think if we'd beaten Watford, we just have to score that penalty. I think we win that game. Then we'd be fifth or eighth at the moment. But yeah, it's not been a good week. We've had a few injuries. Fithogene's gone and he's a big player. And, you know, you're just looking at it and it's just bringing back memories from last season when we had these injuries.
I think we're just foreseeing what could unfold rather than what's happening now. Losing back-to-back games in the Championship is uncommon, which is about how you bounce back as a team.
Yeah. The main thing is, another main thing to mention about that is that it's the first time we've done that in it, the whole calendar year, and even longer than that since last November with the senior at the helm. So it's a shame to have lost that record. But yeah, I think it's just a QPR game. Watford, we should have got 3 points there, really.
Yeah.
There were some mistakes, but that was still a good performance. But yeah, I think we can look ahead. Hopefully it'll be a better performance on Wednesday. And we've got Johnny on from the Borough Breakdown podcast. It was a pleasure to meet them at the Football Content Awards just a few weeks ago. Do you want to unmute yourself and then we can have a bit of a chat?
Oh, hello guys. Sorry.
Hi.
Just very small time. How's it going, guys? You okay?
We're getting a bit worried as well about injuries, but other than that, we're okay, I think.
Oh, good. Yeah, I think we're the same, to be honest. We've just had a really bad run of injuries as well. So, but, you know, it's getting better, I think. Hopefully, fingers crossed. We have no idea when people are back, but it's going to be a game of probably injuries, I think, tomorrow on Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm. So do you want to just tell us a little bit about how Middlesbrough's season's gone? Because I've seen that it was a poor start. I mean, you're missing players like Akpom and someone else who I've completely forgotten about. Who was another top scorer from last season? Archer? Was Cameron Archer there?
Yeah, on loan, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how's the season going to be to readapt to losing those key players?
So I think to get you up to speed, we lost a lot of players in the summer. You know, we lost Cameron Archer, of course. He was on loan at Sheffield United. Lost Aaron Ramsey. We lost Chuba. We lost Ryan Giles. So four key players really for us. And we lost about 66 goals overnight for them just leaving in the summer. So it was always going to be a big task in trying to bring those players back for us, to be honest. And, you know, we've recruited quite well in the summer. I would say we've definitely moved towards that sustainable model, which we've been trying to build towards over the last couple of seasons. And, you know, bringing the likes of Rodgers, Latte Laff and Vandenberg, you know, probably younger players that you'd hopefully try and bring on and sell for value. And, you know, the season started pretty horrendously, to be honest. I think we were playing El Crapico against Sheffield Wednesday a few weeks ago and bottom of the league, and we drew. And that really was rock bottom for us, to be honest. And we've went on in a bit of an incredible run from that. And then it's been a bit topsy-turvy. And to be honest, 12th place is probably where we should be because of how our inconsistency is. You know, our underlying numbers are quite good, but it's just a case of we just... Yeah, we've got a lot of injuries and they've caught up with us right now, and we're in a place where it could, you know, it could define our season, to be honest.
So Michael Carrick did a really good job last year. What was it the year before? When did he come in and fix the team? Was it last season or the year before?
His first game was against us. I think it was his first game in charge was against us and we lost. Or was it the game before that?
Yeah. It was game before Preston. It was his first game. And then I think it was went on to Hull afterwards. It was Hull away. Yeah.
3-1.
And he's been in charge for just over 12 months now, and I absolutely loved every moment of it. I really have, and I think you guys would be the same with a senior, to be honest. Like you feel like you've got a good manager at the helm, things are becoming more sustainable, and you're starting to build towards something. You can see what you're trying to do during games as well, and the way he's trying to play and how he's set Middlesbrough up now is a little bit different from what he had probably last year. But it's still really good football. I still love watching us, and you know we've brought in some really good players at the time. And last year was a bit of an anomaly to some extent because we were just massively overperforming, and the players around it were really, really good quality. I think the four I've mentioned have went for about 50 million over in the summer and to the respective clubs. So we've lost a lot of talent, and you know I feel for Carrick in a way, but the one good thing I really like is that he's just been able to get every single player to play that system or way, and they all suit it when they come in and out of the squad. So I've absolutely loved it. Honestly, I've absolutely loved having Carrick in charge. I think it's just been amazing for us. You guys will be the same with Racine, you're right.
I think there's some parallels, like Middlesbrough and Hull in general. Like both came down for the Premier League in 2017, I'm pretty sure. Then since then, you haven't been promoted back, right? You've just sort of like been in mid-table or chasing playoffs. Whereas for us, it's like we was sort of in mid-table championship, then dropped towards relegation in 2020, then came back up from League One. Since then, we've been sort of fighting relegation. Well, we was fighting relegation our first two seasons. Then obviously last season, we sort of stabilised under Racine, and now obviously like you sort of pushing the playoffs and with a obviously young, hungry manager that's implemented a really like progressive and exciting style to watch. So, you know, I think in terms of the club, it's like it's only a matter of time before both clubs are probably in the playoffs or at least, you know, fighting each season just to get in there because, you know, it's obviously good.
Yeah, definitely. Like, and you know, it's always good when you see like a manager and like a club building towards something as well. I think when you guys have obviously had that takeover and last year it didn't really seem to be working out at the start, and then you had a couple of good results and it tipped off a bit, and then Racine came in and he's just took you to a level where you want to be. And I really hope that Racine like stays for a while now, because I know there's always that rumor mill, isn't there, when a Premier League manager goes, it seems like our manager, your manager, if such managers on McKenna, they'll all get like tipped for these new jobs now, won't they? And it's just I hope he sticks around, because I think you guys deserve.
Picture the scene: all of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club. Because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
And you know, I'll be interested to see where you end up this year, because I feel like 7th or 8th is probably where you should be right now, but then it's like you've missed a couple of opportunities to get into like 4th and 5th. So
yeah, it's been punishing, really. Like sort of typical City, so to speak. You've got that great chance to sort of build that gap, and then we sort of blow it. Last week we played really well against Watford, and then the turning point was us missing a penalty, Then we're going to concede a goal from 40 yards. Our keeper should have saved them. Just, and then obviously, like on Saturday, we lose to QPR 2-0 and couldn't really argue with that result. But it was just frustrating knowing that we had two great chances there to sort of build on what we've been doing. But I guess it was always going to hit that rough patch of the season. We've had it quite stubbornly well so far, I guess, in terms of injuries. Most of our key players have, stayed fit, but now we've lost a couple and it's starting to tell.
Mm-hmm. So
every time I come to Middlesbrough, it seems to snow, Johnny. I've been on a few occasions, and every time they've been sort of running down the lines, clearing the snow so you could see the lines, and it's been a bit cold. So I'm not sure that I'm going to come up on Wednesday night, to be honest, because I think it might snow if I come.
Yeah, to be honest, AD, I wouldn't even, mate. It's absolutely freezing at the Riverside this time of year. It's about 1 degree at a push. It's always cold in the summer as well.
This right time of year as well. Like, I remember...
It is every time. It's always now around now, every time. I remember
Four years ago.
And it had absolutely snowed down. It took us hours to get home because it was so terrible. Really was. But yeah, it's not a good hunting ground for us, which is another bad thing because... Middlesbrough just tend to do a job on us every time. And
I think we've won once there in how many years.
Very frustrating for us.
I think we've won once there in, like, I don't know how many years. The win was when Lewis Potter scored in that 1-0 win.
Yeah, last 10 years, it's just been the one win, hasn't it?
Yeah, literally.
Well, you started really well last season, didn't you? Last season when I think you went 1-0 up in the first half, and then it was the second half.
Sure. Yeah, well, first half was really good. Like, some of the best football I've seen us play under a senior, at that time. And then we go and lose 3-1. Yeah.
It was a matter of minutes. I think it was 3 and 7 minutes or something daft like that, wasn't it? Last year.
And it wasn't the only time Middlesbrough did that that week as well, didn't you? Come 1-0 down to beat Norwich 5-1 or something. So it was a pretty good week for Middlesbrough.
Yeah, it was a great week. It was that time of the year where we just seemed to be a bit invincible, where we were just creating plenty of chances. And I think the difference from us from last season to this season is that normally we took our chances last year, where this year it's taken us a few goals to get hit the back of the net. And it just knows how much a game state matters, doesn't it? And if when you take the lead and a game completely changes, but when we're not taking those chances, it's a bit frustrating. Even though we are scoring a lot of goals still, we've scored more goals than we did last year, but it's just we're just not as effective as we were.
Yeah, I look at Middlesbrough as a team a bit like Brighton used to be, that they'll be up there eventually. They're always there a bit there and thereabouts, and I think they'll, like us, not parachute payment teams, but probably be near the top of the league, hopefully, for our perspective as well. So 3 out of 4 losses to Middlesbrough, 2 defeats in a row for Hull. How do we see this game going? Because both teams will be desperate for, to get back to winning ways. Johnny, any insight on how Middlesbrough will play?
Yeah, we'll still play our 4-2-3-1 shape. In possession, you do tend to see Borough try and bomb on with the fullback, similar to last year where we'd try and do that lopside approach where you bring people over the right, lop it over the left, and then you knock it in the box. But this year's a bit different where we try and play it more in the box and try and get in behind, or we'll use the likes of Rodgers to really drive at the defence. I think we'll make a couple of changes. To be honest, we are on the bare bones as well. I think we had 10 players out in the last game, and it's 8 this time because 2 of them come back with Jones and Dyke still coming back. So I think we will stay in that 4-2-3-1. I think we'll have Dieng in goal. I think we'll have Dyke Steele at right back with Vandenberg and Dale Fry and Lucas Engel is the back four. Midfield would still be Barlasser and Houston because Hackney's still injured. And then I'll go probably Rodgers on the left. I'll go Crooks in the middle with Jones on the right, and then Laff up top. That'll be my 11.
How was that Barlasser been like for you? I know you signed him from Rob from, was it last year or was it in January?
We were linked to him all the time, weren't we? I think.
See, I love Dan Barlasser, but he's becoming a bit of a boo boy at the minute. But it's like anyone becomes a boo boy when poor form's happening. And his passing distribution's really good, but he's only as good as the players ahead of him, to be honest. I think if you have a team that is likes to stretch teams and play with really big width and get someone in behind, he's really effective, and he can be silky and smooth on the ball, but then sometimes he can just be a little bit lackadaisical and get caught out, and
Sounds like Seri.
It's where people are fans start to hate him because they just go, well, you know, well, he's getting caught out and he's not given the best pass or whatever. But I really, personally, I really like him. I think he's been a bit good bit of business for us. But when Hackney comes in the team, you don't really see Balassa because Hackney's probably just another level. And yeah. Like these guys know,
he was
like
man of the match. He was man of the match against us last time. I'm pretty sure, like he was quality in midfield.
Yeah, well, obviously you guys got a few under the 21s players. Obviously, we've got Hackney as well. So it's a shame that probably most of them probably missed the game now, right? Because I think they're all injured. So, but it'd be nice to see them all. I'm sure for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's time for the best part of the podcast. You know what it is, don't you, AD and Tom? You know what it's going to be. So this is actually good that you're on because I do a combined lineup. So I'd like to see the whole and the Middlesbrough sort of perspective on this. But yeah, a bit controversial this week because Middlesbrough are below us in the league. Yeah, I think I put more Middlesbrough players in. That's basically because of availability on the whole City side. So as it's a podcast, I'll read it out first for people listening in. We've got Dieng in goal because of Allsop. I mean, I'm not sure whether I drop him just yet, but maybe if he has a poor game against Middlesbrough, I would drop him. But Dieng, goal. Engel, Greaves, Dale Fry, Louis Coyle, Tyler Morton, Crooks, Twine, Isaiah Jones, and Greenwood on the wing, and then Liam Delap up front. So we'll just go around the three of us. I mean, I think this is perfect, obviously, but Johnny, thoughts? Are these the Middlesbrough players that should be in?
I think if it was like, if we were... Is this based on like players fit?
Otherwise Philogene would obviously be there.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say Philogene and McGree 100% in this team. I would probably say, you're near enough right, I would say. I'd probably take Greenwood out and I would go for Rodgers instead because I thought Greenwood was really poor in the last game. But I think other than that, I'm quite happy with that.
Is Jones not back for... He's not back for Wednesday.
I was thinking he was injured, but he would... Alfie Jones would be back, and then Isaiah Jones would also be back.
I'd say we'd get in.
Yeah.
Sarri
was, you know, somewhat at fault for the second goal conceded at QPR. It was a bit of a hospital pass to Allsop.
If I had to change, it'd probably just remove Swan, put Morton there, and just put Sarri as the deep one if it's going to change. But apart from that, it looks pretty spot on with the players that fit.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting better. You give me it every time.
It's always this formation. Like, it's always this one. I want to.
Well,
like
this is the automatic. This is the automatic one, and I didn't have enough time to do 4-4-2 or anything. So, AD.
Yeah, as I say, the only change that I'd be in was Sarri as well. So, apart from that, yeah, I can't really argue with a lot that you've said.
Yeah, genius again.
Hey, watch your head, man. It might not fit through the door.
Oh, it doesn't. I've had to make a new. I come in through the garage now.
At least you can't put Longman back anymore. You know what I mean?
January, when we recall him in January, he'll be in every team. Don't you worry.
There's always a saving grace.
Yeah. So I guess the last thing for the Middlesbrough whole game predictions. I mean, I think that games with Middlesbrough are usually pretty fun. Strange to call it a Yorkshire derby. I don't associate Middlesbrough with being Yorkshire, but if they are, so but yeah, the two games we played them in the season, we got relegated 2-2 with that wonderful 30-yard Eves backheel volley, and then a game when we beat Middlesbrough and Wilk scored for only when we had in that sort of restart period. I thought that was the worst we've ever played ever. Even worse than Wigan, and we still won. I still don't understand how that happened. But Johnny, I'll go with you first. Prediction for the match?
I'll take a draw, to be honest. We've got so many injuries, man. It's insane. But I'll go with a 1-1 draw.
1-1? That's not like Hull City. We never drew a 1-1. I mean, we constantly do. But, yeah, not away from home. But Tom, thoughts?
I think it's predicted, but I'm predicting a loss. I think 2-1. It's not shocking, though, is it? We never win at Borough. Philogene's out. Who's going to replace him? I just don't see where. I just don't have much confidence going into the game. So 2-1 loss. I'm just hoping because every time I predict us to win anyway, we'll lose or draw. So
yeah,
until we win.
Okay, AD, anything more cheerful?
I agree with Tom. 2-1 loss.
Wow. Well, I predicted 2-2 at QPR. I might predict 2-2 at Middlesbrough. Maybe both teams won't be at their best form defensively and structurally, so it might be an open game. I mean, I don't know where we're going to get two goals from, but
I don't
want to predict a loss, and I'm not sure whether both teams are in good enough form to take advantage of either team's flaws at the moment. So yeah, I like the 2-2. I'm going to keep predicting that, and maybe like Will every week, saying 3-0. I'm going to go 2-2 again. So, Johnny, thank you very much for coming on. Congratulations on your award at the awards evening recently. Do you want to just shout out where people can find all your stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks for passing on the baton as well. It was obviously if you guys got in the year before, so it was it's nice to take it from you guys. And so you can find us Bore Breakdown, so Bore _ Breakdown, and on Twitter, and then just search the Bore Breakdown podcast for all of our shows on YouTube and on the podcast providers.
Cool. Well, thank you very much again, Johnny, coming on. And yeah, good luck for the season after Wednesday.
Cheers, Johnny.
Cheers, guys. You too.
Cheers, Paul.
Cool. So I think there's probably a few more little details we can discuss. Essentially, there's just three transfer rumours that I'd like to discuss, whether we think it's actually likely or whether we'd like
to. Does one begin with a K?
Well, I'm going to get onto that one last because I think that's the most exciting. So the first one I'm going to ask is the least exciting, in my opinion, because I don't think Sunderland fans liked him last year when he was on loan. That's Joe Gelhart, the striker from Leeds. I mean, I'd rather have Connolly than Gelhart, to be honest. I'm not really a fan of that. He's not been prolific anywhere. Vecinia does tend to sign players that haven't got very good reputations, and he gets the best out of them. But, you know, I'd rather try Connolly or get someone else in, or recall Oscar even, than bringing Gelhart. So thoughts on him, if you know much about him?
The issue was goals in the final third, and I think he scored 2 in about 16 for Sunderland last season or something on those lines. Probably scored about 10 goals across his senior career. I know he's only 21, but he's never sort of set the world alight. He's shown promise, but I think, again, he's not really lived up to his potential as of yet. Still got plenty of time, but at a time when we need goals and we need someone, perhaps a whole head to come in to sort of provide that, he's not. I just don't think he's the guy. Perhaps Rossini could get the best out of him, but we'll have to see.
Yeah, I think Delap's really good. I think Delap's probably got 10 goals in his senior career as well, but he's done better this year for us. So. Yeah. AD, do you know anything about Gelhart?
It's one of them, isn't it? You know, Oscar Estepinian's got a hamstring injury at the moment, but if there was a chance to recall him in January, did he score 13 for us last season?
Yeah.
Who else is going to score 13 for us this season?
Yeah, not any strikers, really.
And, you know, anybody that you bring, Tom hit the nail on the head. Anybody that you bring in January, either Liam's got to try and get the best out of somebody that's not doing very well, or they're coming here because they've got nowhere else to go, haven't they? So it's that strike. The striker's always the problem one, isn't it? And it's, to me, it's either if Oscar's got his hamstring injury sorted out and we can recall him, I would look to do that, or possibly blood one of the younger ones like Tyler Sellers Fleming, who had made his debut on Saturday.
Yeah, worth a mention because I didn't mention that. That's very good. Ant's saying that Gelhart has Bags Wolf energy. I don't know what that means.
What's he say? Bags of Wolf energy?
Bags Wolf energy. I guess that's good.
If it's our style, like in terms of the pressing, like he's one of them that's just going to press and in behind.
Biting at the ankles, is he?
My thing is with
these names that we're talking about, Liam did do really well with Connolly when he first came in, but he's not getting the best out of Connolly anymore, is he?
Yeah, maybe we just need that striker for like that just 5-month burst of form.
Yeah,
I guess burst of wolf energy. But yeah, I'm not really convinced about that one. We've been linked with a permanent move along with other Championship clubs for Charlton's Corey Blackett-Taylor, who I remember him bursting onto the scene a few years ago at Tranmere, and he was good there, if that's who I'm thinking of. Got 6 goals, 6 assists for Charlton this season. Could be a good signing, but I don't really know much about him. If we're thinking of wingers who have played for Charlton, I'd rather get Rakseki on loan from Crystal Palace. But any thoughts on him?
I think dipping into the League One market, over the years we've had like mixed sort of bag, you know, in terms of, you know, buying players from there. I remember obviously under Grant McCann, we bought a load of talent from League One. And, you know, you bought someone like Tom Eaves that scored 40 goals across two seasons and couldn't translate it to the Championship. But when I think, I don't know how young that Blackett Taylor
26.
Was. 26. 26. So, yeah, that's fair. So, like, it means he's sort of in that stage of his career where he's ready to sort of push on and perhaps, you know, come to the Championship. But I don't know. It sounds snobby, but I think perhaps, I don't know if we're past that sort of signing League One players. You know,
they have to be the very best. In, like,
you look at Philogene, like, buying a player from the Premier League club. That's the sort of standard signing that I think City fans are expecting now. I'd love for him to come in and prove us wrong and, you know, become prolific goal scoring Championship level. Then maybe it's worth a punt, but I don't really know too much about him, so I can't really comment. But
AD, give us a whole scouting report on Karrueche Blackett Taylor, because I know you really religiously follow Charlton Athletic as well.
You're funny some days, Nathaniel. You really are funny. I know nothing about him, I'll be honest with you. So I'd just be saying the same as Tom. You know, you're taking a punt on a League One player coming in. And I would better than that now. I don't know. It's that situation of how much money have we got to spend in January. I think that's a big thing. And I think, as we talked earlier in the podcast, it's that situation of how many players can we get off the wage bill that are high earners to allow us to have a bit more flexibility there. And I think that's the key to January, is who we can get rid of to then bring in people in, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Before we get on to the one who begins with K, which is very exciting and is definitely a throwback to last summer's sort of transfer dealings, Ants just reminded me about Ali Al-Hamadi at Wimbledon, who we were linked to about a month ago. I'm sure every club has been linked to him. He's been in incredible form, and he scored 20 goals and 37 for Wimbledon. I think he got a few in the FA Cup on the TV the other day. I think if you're getting a player from a lower league, they have to be like one of the best players from that division, and he looks like he's a striker who's 21 and incredible form, so I wouldn't mind that, especially if you can't get Delap on a permanent, maybe, worth a punt. But again, yeah, I don't really know much about him.
I'd like that if the creative players in behind him would be feeding him the ball through, because right now, look at the work that Delap has to do up there. Yeah. It's no good bringing in a striker like that can score goals if you're not going to feed him the chances. If he's just going to have to press for the ball, like, and create opportunities himself. So I think first and foremost, we've got to sort out the supply line in behind before we get a striker. I'd say all that is important.
Very much like Gyökeres or Brereton Diaz, he makes his own chances.
Can do everything on his own, but then he also can thrive off balls into the box. And I think we've seen a few times this season when we put a ball into the box, he's finished his chances, but he's not had that in recent weeks. So something we have to address, I think.
Yeah, so we have been in discussions or very rumoured to be signing or trying to sign, or however you want to put it. Ryan Kent, who is had been at Rangers, he's a winger. I think he's about 25, is he? 26? And he's gone to Fenerbahce. Could we get him on loan? I mean, just like when Dele Alli went to Besiktas, I don't know how to say it.
Besiktas.
Yeah, you think, an English player going to Turkey, we're going to sign him at some point, and we probably still will. But Ryan Kent's not scored or got an assist or anything. He's not played that much for Fenerbahce, or if he has done, it's been sort of substitute appearances and stuff. I mean, I hope he's better than the last two wingers we've got from Fenerbahce, or at least more reliable. I don't know whether we'd get him. It would be a big wage. Enship there says, would he be a good signing, but big wages? I think, especially if Philogene is going to be out for a longer period, not that we'd have him before Philogene's back, but I think Ryan Kent did very well in Scotland. Good player. I'd be very happy with that. Thoughts?
I think with Kent, the issue has not ever been his talent, it's been his attitude. And Rossini, like we said before, like he likes to challenge himself and get the best out of players that have had attitude problems. You look at Tufan, I know that's not really worked out over the course of his tenure, showing, you know, sort of glimpses. You see Conley as well showing glimpses. I think Kent's another one where he's a flash in the pan sort of player. Like, he has the ability to produce a moment of brilliance, but then most of the time, like, you know, it might have an 8 out of 10 game one day, but then they're followed by 5 or 6 out of 10 games three times, I guess. Like, attitude in question. No doubt has talent. Would be interested to see if he could sort of find a home with us if he joined and we signed him permanently. But, you know, it's one of them where, like, people are getting excited, but his form sort of tailed off for quite some time. So, be interested to see if he could get that back on track.
I think that, I mean, by the time we're signing players in January, Philogene will probably be back. I don't think he's going to be out for that long. It's like 6 months or something, I don't think, although it could be. So really, I wouldn't mind if we had Philogene fully fit on one wing and Kent having a good game every four games, because at the moment, that other winger, has no good games, because they're either out of position or they're getting injured. So it's been Lekilo, it's been Alia, it's been Senek, it's been Slater, it's been Vaughan, it's been, you know, Traore and Twine, and it's just, we need just a winger, and so whoever it is, you know, and I think championships he could do quite well, but AD, what do we need out of that other winger?
Well, we need them to maybe not do the other winger situation. When you look at Lekilo is probably the other winger. If he does what he can do best, which is put the ball into the box, because Philogene don't put the ball into the box. Philogene likes to walk it into the box. And as Tom said, you know, you've got Delap that's coming back all the time to try and create chances because he ain't getting the service in there. But if you have got somebody like Lekilo who's actually playing really well and being positive going forward and putting the ball into the box, then I think, you know, then you've got a good player. And that's what we need from the winger, is something different to Philogene, because Philogene is great at coming in and getting into the box and playing that little ball off and giving somebody a chance or making a chance for himself. But then you aren't getting that service from crosses, which is, I think, is what we need. We're not getting enough crosses in, and that's not just from Philogene, it's from the other winger, it's from the right back and the left back. You know, if you look at Christie, when Christie plays, Christie's great at coming forward with the ball, and he does a lot like Philogene does. He likes to walk into the box, but he don't put a cross in. The only player that's really putting a cross in is Coyle, and I think your other person who can put your cross in is Vinagre. If Vinagre plays on the left, but as you say, then his defensive duties aren't good. Yeah. So we're just a little bit light, aren't we? And we're a little bit, we need to have two players that you can just morph together and make a really good player. And if we got that, that'd be excellent. Same with the keepers, isn't it? If you got Ingram shot stopping and you got Allsop's distribution and morphed it into one,
someone said that. I think
our issue is, like, we need that sort of versatility. Like, you look at Leeds, like, they've got Somerville on the left who cuts on his right, and you've got Jan James on the right wing, on his right footed. So you want someone perhaps on the other flank. A Robbie Brady type player, throwback there from back in the day, like, that can whip a ball in the box. I know football's evolved from just crossing into the box, but there's times in games where we've seen he's not shown that we've got a plan B, really, like, in terms of breaking down teams. We're constantly trying to pass the ball, you know, pass passing for whatever shot.
Tom.
Yeah, so I mean, it's like he's showing his level
now. Got that, have we?
Yeah, but I mean, in terms of, like, a player that can put a ball in the box, we need that down the right flank, I think. Just something different, I think. Because I think what's happening is, I think a lot of teams figuring out how we play now. So you've got to deviate from that sometimes and sort of change. And if you've got someone on the right side that can whip a ball and cause problems, then, you know, probably benefit us a lot. But
you're right, Tom. You are right. We have been sussed out a little bit. And he does need to think a little bit about how to change it up a little bit. And I think that, you know, he's learning as a manager, and this is part of his learning. He needs to learn that to try and give us something a little bit different. Because you know yourself, QPR on Saturday, they've done a little bit of a job on us. The game before that.
Watford did as well, to be fair.
Yeah, they did, because they said about this 40-yard pass, didn't they? They'd seen that, they'd watched it, and they'd done it. And, you know, maybe it's on another day it don't go in, but they've done a job on us because they've done that research to say we can score a goal from 40 yards here, and they have done. And this is the thing that he's got to learn.
finer details, like in football. Yeah. Like, you wouldn't ever see it like us sort of changing up a little bit, like these different nuances that you get, like obviously a Watford player trying a shot for night far out, like we don't seem to deviate from our style, which has obviously served us well across the season. But like you say, there's times when you need to deviate from it and try something different and, you know, put balls into the box, you know, cause problems. Like, you've got a player like Allsop that can distribute the ball well. Why not try go long? Because there's times of season, like more often than not, that we've gone long and we've actually scored from it. Like, you've seen the lap. Like, if you get the ball to him, he causes problems. He can spin. There's no better striker in a championship than spinning with a ball with his pace and power than the lap. So we need to just sort of use him to his strengths.
Agree with you, Tom. I think the thing with it is you're probably right in how rigid he is set up and how rigid he's got his team playing and how strict he is with the team, because, you know, the goal that we concede where the ball's gone back to the keeper and he hasn't put it into the stand, is that because he's too rigid in what he's been told to do? You know, the first thing he should be doing is getting rid of that ball, whether it's put it out onto the into touch or put it into the stand or whatever you do. First thing you should be doing is getting rid of that ball. And I think that's to do with how rigid he's got us playing, and he maybe needs to just relax it a little bit and, you know, give him a little bit more freedom. He seems to give Philogene a lot of freedom, but then other players don't seem to have as much freedom to do what they think is right in a game.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, like that's that, like I say, like it's all about the style. I think once you start getting figured out, we've seen it in the past of all City managers, like you can go on a downward spiral. That probably won't be the case with us because Rossini is smart enough to know better, and we've got the quality in the squad to, you know, continue winning games. But it's just like them fine details of matches that we need to sort of figure out.
Yeah, we're going to have to find a new way to win, especially without Philogene. Go back to how it was earlier in the season. I think there are a few players that sort of need to step it up because they're there. You know, Tufan's there, Connolly's there, Traore, Twine, these sort of players, they are good. We just need them to be consistent and, you know, hopefully someone will sort of take up the baton and become the star player again. Because I think, you know, talking about the wingers being different, you can't have two Philogenes who, you know, get that much sort of, you know, the star player. You can't have two star players that are better than everyone else. Even when we had Bowen and Grzycki, Bowen was the star and Grzycki sort of went under the radar. Most teams he'd be one of the best attacking players, and yet Bowen was there. So yeah, I think, and they were sort of different players. Grzycki was the assist man, wasn't he, and Bowen finished the chances off. So yeah, I think we're all on the sort of same page with where we need to go. I'm not sure we'll get back to winning ways, but still, we're still roughly where I think we should be, at the very least. It should be a bit higher, but we're still in a decent position. So you've gone two defeats, I've gone 2-2. Hopefully we do get back to winning ways. But AD, I really can't remember. So what's that radio show you do again every Saturday at 1 o'clock?
I've not mentioned it yet. Is that what you're saying, Nathaniel?
No, saying I like people to plug their stuff.
Thanks. I will plug my stuff. And we're on Saturdays, 1 o'clock on Westall FM. You can get us online, westallfm.co.uk, or on 106.9 on FM if you're in the Hull area. We'll talk about this game against Middlesbrough, as well as we'll be talking about Saturday's game because we haven't done that on the radio yet. And we'll preview the game against Cardiff. We'll be live at the Tigers Trust Arena. Come in and have a pint. Say hello. We'd love to see you.
That's a good point. We may as well do our Cardiff predictions as well. 5-0 City. Yeah.
You're actually going to go with that on when Ant goes for his prediction thing?
Why not? I'm not going to get it right anyway. So, yeah.
I'm going to say 1-0 win to City, Hull City.
Yeah, nice.
What do you mean you're thinking exactly the same today, Tom? I'm going exactly the same as you, Tom.
Yeah, 1-0. Scrape it.
Old Sop will screw against his former side, lob it all the way.
Yeah.
Have
another.
Yeah, well, he's so good on the ball. Maybe we just put him in midfield or Ingram can be in goal, shot stopping.
I think he's a player that had preferred to play outside, and he was never really wanting to be a goalie. He just wanted to be a
I think there's probably only two players in world football that you could get away with playing in midfield in like, and probably at like League One, League Two level, and that's Alisson and Ederson. Allsop, I don't think would, he's not quite good enough to do that, but that's the idea. But yeah, thanks to everyone who's, well, Tom, also, you've been magnificent. Good to mention that. And AD. And Tom, anything to plug? Probably not.
Nah, nothing to plug, mate, nothing.
No, cool, fair enough. I've not really got anything to plug, so that's it. I guess I'll do the proper intro.
Apart from the White Rose, the White Rose Rivals that me and Ant go on every Thursday.
See?
Obviously, we've got on the podcast, obviously, there's each fan from each Yorkshire club in the championship, so Sheffield Wednesday, Huddersfield, Rotherham, Leeds and Hull. So me and Ant sort of taking turns going on there. So it's good. It's good banter on there. Good fun. So Fancy some championship talk. It's usually Thursday at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, awesome. Well, definitely check that out. But yeah, thanks to everyone who's listened in and commented today, and keep doing all the retweeting and liking, and you know, sending us nice crafted letters and you know, all the stuff people do constantly. So keep doing it. We love it, and we'll be back next week after 6 delicious points, hopefully, but probably not. So goodbye.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.